Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Charge, let's work in reverse here a little bit. Normally we save Thursday night football for the end, but let's start with tonight. I'm excited for this Seahawks-Cardinals game. I was telling Cody, I think that Jackson Smith and Jigba is extremely underrated. Do you agree? He's a must-start right now, right?
Yeah, absolute must-start. And by the way, who would have guessed Seattle-Arizona would have multiple fascinating storylines? Mm-hmm. This looked like a pretty mundane Thursday nighter a few weeks ago, but now there's all kinds of things that make this pretty compelling tonight. And yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Alex, it's a superstar receiver that almost nobody's talking about. I don't think he's on the Ja'Marr Chase,
sure,
Justin Jefferson,
sure,
Puka Nacua level, but he's right there after those guys. And honestly, outperforming both Jefferson and Chase. He's number two in receiving yards, 108 per game. He's the fifth most targeted receiver. And Jackson Smith and Jigba would probably be higher, but the Seahawks crushed the Saints last week and really didn't even have to pass. And potentially sitting on a big game tonight, Cardinals are going to be without their best cornerback. His name's Will Johnson. He's got a groin injury. Fifth-round rookie Denzel Burke is the replacement. And that guy's gotten eaten alive in the work he has seen so far. The last two number one receivers to face Arizona have both topped 100 yards. So Jackson Smith and Jigba potentially sitting on a really big game. He's my number three receiver for the week.
One of the guys on the other side, we do a little segment on Monday, stock up, stock down. Not necessarily be a player, coach. I don't care. One time it was blocked kicks. The stock was up. Marvin Harrison Jr. 2 weeks ago was stocked down. He has not been the type of wide receiver that he was drafted to be. Fantasy-wise, borderline unplayable now? I don't know if that's far enough. Like, would you start benching him?
Yes. No, yeah, absolutely. Marvin Harrison's lost all the benefit of the doubt. You know, the draft equity, fourth overall pick in the draft, that's all dissolved now. And I think it's fair at this point to look back at the full season and three games that Marvin Harrison played, because Cody, you know, you could say, well, we're going to erase last year. That was his rookie year. Now he's a sophomore. But the problem is it's all the same stuff this year that we saw last year from Marvin Harrison. From a pure fantasy standpoint, when Marvin Harrison does not score a touchdown, he is an auto L for your team. His average finish when he does not score a touchdown, which isn't all that often, is wide receiver 65 for Marvin Harrison. And here's the problems to my eyes. Number one, drops, consecutive games of drops, and they're ignominious drops of that. He has the worst separation rate in the NFL, including tight ends. So tight ends, the way that Next Gen Stats bundles up receivers, they bundle up wide receivers and tight ends together. Marvin Harrison has the worst separation, including 260-pound tight ends that are lumbering out there, getting more separation than he's getting. And then all these Kyler Murray misfires with him that we don't necessarily know if it's on Murray or if it's on Harrison, but we know those two fail to connect a lot. And you roll all that together, and with a good Seattle pass defense tonight, and I only have Marvin Harrison in one of my leagues, and I'm benching him. I would recommend if you've got any other good modest alternatives that you do the same.
Obviously, the Cardinals lost James Conner. Of the two, Trey Benson or Cam Scadaboo, the guys who look like they're now full-blown starters, which one do you like in the long haul?
Well, that's a great question. I think I like Trey Benson because he's going to get all of the work. He is going to be a massive workhorse runner for the Cardinals. And Scatable looks great, too, by the way. Did you guys see the backflip he did?
Yeah, pretty impressive.
How does a guy built like Cam Scatable get a, how can he do a backflip? What is not to love about that guy's game?
Prime Peyton Hillis. It's back. You know, it feels like that over again.
There's a little bit something to that. I had not heard that analogy. I like that. With Trey Benson, the workhorse is going to start tonight for a couple of reasons. One, they want to de-emphasize Kyler Murray and a bad passing offense. I think that's certainly part of it. But also, Seattle seeing the third most rushes and the most overall running back touches against them. So teams, you know, Seattle's a good pass defense, as I mentioned. So teams are trying to run on Seattle a lot. They've actually been a pretty good run defense. They're getting eaten alive through the air. And Trey Benson.
All right, I think we lost our connection there briefly with Paul Charchi and talking a little fantasy football with him, specifically this Thursday night matchup with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And then I do want to ask him about Travis Kelce from a fantasy football perspective. Is he still an automatic starter? But yeah, I think Trey Benson is going to be very good for Arizona. Look, James Conner, it's unfortunate the injury. Like that's probably it for James Conner being a starting running back in this league. So now it's Trey Benson's time, and it sounded like Charch was a big believer in what Trey Benson might be able to do, and they're going to maybe lean on the run game tonight due to maybe the issues with Kyler Murray. Paul Charchian back with us here. I was just saying, you like Trey Benson quite a bit, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we dropped there, although I don't know. I got the new iPhone Air, and
yeah.
Normally, you know, the software I use to connect to your station, it works fine, but somebody called me, and normally it's not a problem, but I think that knocked me off the air when somebody called me.
No, you're good.
Anyway, you were just saying he's the next workhorse back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is, and tonight, it's going to start tonight. Seattle has seen the most total running back touches against them. That's receptions plus rushes. No team has seen more than Seattle, and you got to minimize Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison. So this is going to be a nice opportunity, and especially through the air, where Seattle's allowed the most receiving yards to running backs out of every team in the league. So I think we're going to see it start tonight. 20 total carries for Trey Benson and a workhorse role incoming.
Let's go to Kansas City on the fantasy football end, and Travis Kelce, yeah. Xavier Worthy looks like he's going to play. He was a full participant in practice, but Travis Kelce, is he an automatic starter at tight end still in fantasy?
No, guys, I think it's come to this, and I mean, I'll be fascinated to hear what you have to think. I mean, here's, you know, eye test is one thing, but let me give you some metrics to sort of go along with it. His separation has dropped from last year. He was 3.5 yards, and that was down from closer to 4 yards the year before to 2.9 yards per play, his separation rate. Kelce isn't catching downfield. We talked about this a week or two ago. His ADOT, his, you know, average distance of target has shrunk to 6.5 yards. That is his shortest number in 11 seasons. So he's not being targeted downfield. And then get this, and I bet even you guys don't know this. Kelce ranks second to last in tight end pass blocking. He's 58th in tight end pass blocking. If he can't pass protect, then Noah Gray starts turning into a third down option. And, you know, as a fantasy player, we don't want Kelce off the field on third downs. So I have a lot of concern going forward. Travis Kelce was in guillotine leagues. He was the, I believe, fourth most chopped player at any position last week and the most chopped tight end last week. So you guys tell me, is Travis Kelce an auto start anymore?
Probably not an auto start, but just knowing where tight ends are in fantasy in general, he's like starting any other tight end at the moment. I think my biggest thing, Charch, is the target share. He used to be a 6-7 target guy a game, and now he's more in the 3-4 range, which means he kind of has to get in the end zone to make him better than the wash at tight end, especially where you selected him, probably the wash. Cause like, and then that's always like the tough part. Cause like where we selected him, I was going to ask you this week anyway, like everyone's draft strategy this year, in my opinion, was get rid of the quality running backs we know are good. We're all starting over. All the rookies are going to carry us to freedom. And it's been the opposite so far. So like, is Hampton Genty, like, are any of these guys, Charch, who do you like the best, I guess, out of that group to be better than they have been to start?
Well, okay, so Genty, it's now or never for Genty. It's Chicago this week. That defense has been ravaged, you know, injury problems. They were bad against the run last year. They're bad this year. They were good against the pass last year, but they're all injured now. So for Genty, oh, do you see this stat? This is a great stat for Genty. He's got up 155 rushing yards on the year. 156 have come after contact.
So he has been hit behind the line of scrimmage pretty much on every snap, is what
you're saying. Every play. And when he does get a little bit of, gets a little window, Genty ends up performing pretty well. And I, you know, he's making guys miss and he looks like the Ashton Genty we thought he was going to be. But if you can't get it done here, I mean, this has got to be the time you turn it around against Chicago. They allowed the most rushing touchdowns last year. You have to be able to turn it around against Chicago. And I think I want to believe that's going to happen, if only to save the narrative that we all walked into the season on, that Genty was going to have a very, very special year. And I want to believe that's going to be the case. Bears allowing the second most rushing yards in the league so far this season.
All right, before we let you go, Charts, a lot of people asking about the Giants with Malik Nabers now having a new quarterback there. Yeah. What does Jackson Dart do for people that own Nabers?
Well, he can only help. I mean, unlike Russell Wilson, Dart actually cares. He's a fierce competitor. I mean, what we saw from Russell Wilson sleepwalking through Sunday night's game was professionally embarrassing. And honestly, that chisels away at his chances at the Hall of Fame. I think he's hurting himself more than the stat padding is helping him get into the Hall of Fame. So let me ask both of you. Russell Wilson, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he an eventual Hall of Famer? Or is he not a Hall of Famer?
I think he's an eventual Hall of Famer. I don't know how he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think, you know, everybody now has seen the last couple of years. We forget, though, still how good he was in Seattle. I thought there was a good conversation earlier this week, I can't remember what national show, and it was like, yeah, I know Eli has two rings, but if you think Eli's a Hall of Famer, it's hard to argue against Russ being one.
Yes, it is hard to argue. It's more than just rings, right? He should have, in some ways, he should have two rings.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
But he did throw the game-losing interception, so that's kind of on him. They just never should have been passing the ball in that situation, mm-hmm. Of course. I think I'm with you. Eventual Hall of Famer, he gets in, but I think he's damaging himself here. But Jackson Dart. So Dart, super exciting opportunity for him. First of all, he's a special runner. He could end up in a category of Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen because he's big bodied. And, you know, big quarterbacks who are allowed to run, if he gets designed runs from Brian Daboll, and Lord knows Brian Daboll should use every asset available to him, should. He could be a special runner, and that breaks open your scoring system for your fantasy league. But he's also got to be a better passer. If for whatever, what we saw in the preseason was very promising. It's only preseason, and you know, there's tons of bad reads in the preseason. But I do like the idea that we're going to have a higher completion percentage quarterback and somebody who's not just throwing Hail Mary rainbows downfield. He can throw aggressively downfield on a big arm. Jackson Dart can only help this offense.
I genuinely feel bad for Malik Nabers, who's been a great fantasy player and has had six now different quarterbacks throw him the football once.
Are you serious?
Dart throws him a pass and completes one. That'll be the sixth quarterback to throw him a pass in 20 NFL games.
That's insane. Oh, and by the way, all the other five are all awful and don't even belong in the NFL. Except Daniel Jones? Yeah, Daniel Jones would be the one caveat.
Honestly, Brian Daboll looks way worse now because Daniel Jones is dealing in Indy.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been outcoached by Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen rolled into this year as the Vegas odds favorite to be the first coach fired. And look what he's done with Daniel Jones that Brian Daboll could not unlock at all. Unbelievable.
Paul Charchian, appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks, friends. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.